The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. That's a little better. Already sleeping. I haven't even started. Have your mom and dad ever told you something like, if a stranger comes up and gives you a piece of candy, don't take it or eat it?
Yeah.
You've heard that? Why would they tell you that? So you don't get taken? Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been told not to talk to strangers? Why? Why? No idea? Maybe the same thing you said in the first place. Right? If no one had told you that, and somebody came up and offered you a piece of candy, would you have probably been all over it? Yeah, give it to me. And if someone you didn't know came up and talked to you, asked you how your day was, how you were doing, and no one had told you not to talk to strangers, would you probably have talked to them? Yeah, so you've learned maybe to be a little scared, or at least not real trusting of people you don't know, right? Maybe even this strange preacher up here talking to you today. Well, we won't go there. But the funny thing is, I think when we're born, we just kind of naturally trust everyone. But because this world can be a little crazy, our parents actually teach us not to trust everyone. I don't trust this mic today. It's jumping all over the place. But we learn not to trust people. We learn to be suspicious of people. We learn to be worried that people might be out to harm us in some way. And the truth is, we live in a world where sometimes that's true. Okay? Well, trust is what I'm going to talk about a little more in the next, in the sermon that follows this. But there is one who you should always be able to trust, and who's that? God, of course. It's always the answer in a children's sermon, isn't it? So let's pray. That's where our trust really is. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we pray that through your Son and your good word, our hearts and our minds would be tied to you in the deepest trust of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks. Normally I start this off with a prayer, but the truth is I can't top the prayer I just said with the kids. That's what I wanted to say, so we got that taken care of already. Faith is the theme for our readings today. So, faith is going to be my theme for today. But first, we have to be clear about just what faith means, So, and again, this is always the danger when you put a professor up in the pulpit. I'm used to interacting with my students. You've seen me do this before. I'm going to do it again for just a minute. What does faith mean? What do you think of when you hear the word faith? Anybody?
Trust.
Trust. Anything else?
Belief.
Belief. The unseen. That's even in our second lesson today. Anything else?
Confidence.
Okay.
Assurance.
Assurance. All very good answers.
Surrender.
That's good too. Any other ideas? Well, thank you. You went right where I wanted to go. I was hoping somebody might go somewhere else. Sometimes we even talk about religions as faith. There's the Christian faith. There's the Muslim faith. But to me, when we use the word that way, we're not really using it the way its primary or with its number one meaning, which really is about trust. When we use faith in that sense, we're kind of talking about a whole religious system. But that's not the way it's being used in our readings today. It's being used much more, as you said, faith. The word, trust. The word faith is often synonymous with the word belief. And somebody even said that. I always get a little worried about the word belief because I think too often we think of beliefs, we think of personal opinions. And when we're talking about faith, we're not just talking about an opinion. Faith is actually far different from an opinion. Faith in our context, and most often in the context of Scripture, really means trust. And I like that was the first answer we got this morning. Trust. And that is the way the word is translated in some of our readings today, but not always. In our first lesson, it actually said Abraham believed God's promise that he would have a son and that his offsprings would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But that could just as well be translated, Abraham trusted God. The psalmist for today writes that our heart is glad in God because we trust his holy name. Now, honestly, in the gospel, the word trust or belief never appears. Not specifically, anyway. But in our gospel, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And my guess is those who choose the lessons that go together every Sunday and make up the lectionary felt that this gospel for today is really saying trust. So those words, "Do not be afraid, little flock," could be construed as meaning trust, little flock. And finally, our second lesson from Hebrews today. In that lesson, we hear about the faith of Abraham and Sarah, the faith of Isaac and of Jacob. And our second lesson starts with a verse from Scripture that I think is very familiar and probably a favorite to some. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to talk this morning about the nature of faith at its most fundamental level. And here's probably my thesis or my argument for today. Faith is trust. We've established that pretty clearly. Trust is not a choice we can make. And our faith or our trust in God is a gift from God. Trust is not a choice we can make, and our trust in God is a gift from God. Now let me try to explain. We're going to bring this right down to earth. I tried to start that already off with the children's sermon. We are born, I think, quite trusting. And if you tell very young children things, they are prone to believe you. But as children grow and get lied to and experience broken promises and have friends, family, and others let them down, and they learn that the world can be a scary and dangerous place, they learn not to trust. This is the experience we all have. We were all born trusting, and we have learned through the experience of life itself not to trust. We have learned not to trust in order to protect ourselves. For children raised in an alcoholic household or a household with some other form of drug addiction, the experience of broken promises is multiplied greatly. Here a parent wants to be a good, loving parent, but the addiction rules. So the parent promises to be at the dance recital, or the play, or the game, or the birthday party, and time and time and time again, the parent misses the event and is at the bar instead, or is somewhere else feeding the addiction. Children raised in that environment learn not to trust anyone as a way of protecting themselves from the constant letdowns, heartaches, and broken promises they grew up with. And children of alcoholics have a much harder time forming deep, intimate, romantic relationships because they can't trust someone else enough to really let anyone else close, to really let anyone else in. If you have a close friend, make you some sort of promise, and that friend doesn't keep the promise, you may find it nearly impossible to trust that person again. If you tell a close friend something in deep confidence, and that friend shares it with others, you can't trust that friend after that. You probably won't share anything in deep confidence with that person again. And what I want you to see from all this is that trust is not a choice. Trust is not a choice. People we trust because they've earned our trust. They've proved to be trustworthy. And if someone has broken our trust, it is virtually impossible ever to trust that person again. If someone has really let you down, you can say you'll trust that person again, but in the back of your mind, if you still have that sneaking suspicion it's going to happen again, you really don't trust that person. That is my point. Trust is not a choice. That translates to our relationship with God. We don't trust God either. And in the Bible, that's sin. Sin is not having faith. Not trusting God with our whole lives. But the problem is, we can't trust God, or at least we can't choose to trust God. It is not in our power, because trust is not a choice we can make. So God works to earn our trust. God took on flesh in Jesus to be concrete and real. God gave baptism and the Lord's Supper for His Word to actually touch us in very real, down-to-earth ways. And God calls very ordinary people, sinners, to be pastors in His church. They are to be mouthpieces who speak and preach to real people in the midst of real life. Paul says in Romans that faith or trust comes through hearing, through the words of pastors, Sunday school teachers, and probably even more so, moms and dads, other relatives, friends, maybe church camp counselors, maybe teachers, through the words of all those different kinds of people, we have come to have faith. We have come to believe. We have come to trust. We have been convinced, first, that there is a God. And we have come to trust that that God actually cares about us. We have come to believe that that God forgives us for our mistakes and for the terrible things we actually do on purpose in our lives. We have come to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And we have come to trust that Jesus is coming back someday to raise the dead, to raise us from our graves and give us new life. We have come to believe that we will live again and live again in a new world with no more sin, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. But again, believing all this, trusting all this, is not a choice we made. That's not how trust works. God has been at work in our lives in a myriad of ways, through many people and events, to bring us to trust, to bring us to faith. In some ways, it's all summed up in Ephesians, the second chapter, the 8th verse, where the author writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your doing, it is the gift of God." So to end, I just want to reiterate what I've been trying to argue. Faith, trust in God, is not a choice we can make. Trust in God is a gift that God Himself works in us. God has given you the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Thanks be to God for this faith and this hope that can power and fuel our whole lives. May this trust in God be continually renewed and never lost in you. Amen.